Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting. An echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
And welcome to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. I'm Bob Ginsberg, and I'm here tonight with Tom and Melissa Gould and Fran Ginsberg. And our topic tonight is, are our pets psychic? If you think you have a psychic pet or you did have one at some time, give us a call. Or if you had a question or a comment or a story you wanted to share, the number here is 1-888-627-6008. And tonight's show is sponsored by the Comlock Center, and they can be found on the web at comlock.com. Fran, I'm going to turn it over to you to get some announcements out.
Okay. We always want to remind our listeners to check the events page on our website regularly for any new happenings or the latest events and ways to sign up for them. And that would be at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Now, coming up free this month of September, on September 14th from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern, the Miami, Florida Afterlife Discussion Group will meet at the Dade Regional Library. Also on September 14th from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern, and that would be 11 to noon Pacific and everything in between and on the sides of that, our Visionary Explorers Group meets online. So it doesn't matter where you are. This is a great group. And finally, on September 29th, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern in Brookline, Massachusetts, their Afterlife Discussion Group meets at the Spirit of Light downstairs in their meeting room. This month's webinar is scheduled for September 25th at 9 p.m. Eastern and will feature Dr. Betty Kovac presenting Merchants of Light. In this enlightening webinar, Dr. Kovac will discuss the return of shamanic, mystic, and scientific consciousness and how it is changing our world at this much-needed time. It starts at 9 p.m. Eastern time, so please calculate the time for wherever you are in the world. We have for our listeners tonight a limited number of free member-only seats using the code COMLOCK2019. That's COMLOCK, K-A-M-L-A-K, 2019. And for our non-members, we have a half-price seating code. Use COVACS2019. That's K-O-V-A-C-S-2019. Our annual Winter Grief Retreat, Love Knows No Death, is open for enrollment. And if you enroll before the super early bird rates end on September 30th, our members will be paying below our cost to attend. This great and meaningful weekend is organized to optimize the experiences of the attendees who will work in small groups with certified mediums Angelina Diana, Doreen Malloy, and Renata Santarelli, along with Dr. Piero Calvi Parasetti, and a caring staff of facilitators assisting in transforming your grief. This special weekend is scheduled for January 10th through 12th, 2020, where you will learn that the mystery of death is not a mystery at all, but a doorway to another chapter of continuing life. Hurry, super early birds registration ends on September 30th. Our Holidays Past Raffle 2019 is up and running on our website. One chance is only $5, and you could be one of the five winners of medium readings with certified mediums Janet Nohavik, Joanne Gerber, Dustin Livers, Angelina Diana, and Bobby Allison. Surely you would love to help our work continue with a simple $5 raffle ticket and a chance to win. And please help keep all of our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on the donation button. It's on every single page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all other traditional nonprofits enjoy. You can also help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Amazon Smile, and great nonprofits. And Follow us on our YouTube channel for great stories and videos at youtube.com/afterlifeeducation. Back to you, Bob.
And we're talking about psychic pets, and the question is, are our pets psychic? And of course, going back in history, in the shamanic traditions, the humans and animals shared a common mystical language. They always did. And even today, among the Aborigine community, when they get together, they begin their ancestral tales with the phrase, "A long time ago when the animals could speak." So I think communication between humans and animals, you know, goes back, you know, long before, you know, modern times. And we know that many, many people report that their dogs and their cats and their birds and other animals, horses, you know, that have some telepathic abilities. And as far as pets in the afterlife, we sure have seen evidence of that. I'm sure Tom and Melissa, how many times have you witnessed medium readings where somebody's beloved pet on the other side comes through?
Oh, we hear that quite often, and it's so reassuring to our pet loving friends too, because their pets are like their children, as we know.
Yeah, I mean, there's also a lot of cases of pet apparitions, and you know, we do these surveys very often, and when we do these afterlife encounter surveys, we're always amazed at the number of people who report sightings of their deceased pets. I mean, sometimes, you know, whether it's a pet hopping up in bed with them, or jumping up on a couch, or running in and out of a room, it's more common than what you might think. I mean, there's certainly a large percentage of people that report that. And then people who have near-death experiences, you know, also report, you know, pets meeting up with pets on the other side. And certainly in dream visitations, pets come through us also. So, I mean, we're talking about pets that are psychic, but it's connected because in order for them to their consciousness to survive like ours do, I mean, they would have to be psychic, you know, to a certain degree. So we all know about how many people have heard tales, I certainly have, of lost animals that travel hundreds or sometimes thousands of miles and inexplicably show up, you know, at their owner's side. You know, I mean, how is that possible?
I would personally say that they are using their abilities to go out of body and transport themselves, that they didn't really walk all those thousands and thousands and thousands of miles.
Oh, really?
That's my own observation on that. If they are consciousness like we are consciousness, we know that we can train ourselves to go out of body. They don't have to train themselves. They haven't been initiated fully into the physicality of the world.
Well, I don't know.
Fascinating.
I mean, that's certainly possible, but I tend to think, though, that they really did walk those miles. The question is, you know, we have to be careful because we know that our pets have, especially dogs and cats, have heightened senses, senses of smell and senses of weather changes and so forth. But it still doesn't explain how they can navigate over, you know, hundreds of miles. You can't tell me that a sense of scent would be prevalent over a 1,000-mile stretch. I mean, that's going beyond reason, you know, especially if somebody was traveling in a car. How do you follow the scent inside of a car?
Well, again, you're applying the laws of the physical world that we've been taught rather than the non-physical realm that we're studying.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about specific examples of and some research that's been done with dogs and cats and horses testing precognition. So we're gonna go to our break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a lot more about that. And if you'd like to share something, give us a call at 1-888-627-6008. Be back in a few.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to the gathering on Signs of Life. I'm here with Tom and Melissa and Fran, and we're talking about psychic pets. Now, one thing that I'm sure all of us have heard of, I certainly have, were animals that can perceive illness. And I recall there was a story all over the news about one specific cat. I think his name was Oscar.
Yeah,
it was a cat.
Yeah.
And he would roam the halls in hospice. And whenever somebody was getting ready to pass, when death was imminent, Oscar would hop up on the bed, and it was like foolproof. It was, you know, the staff knew when Oscar joined you, you know, get ready, you know. So how do you think that happens?
I think that they have that connection where they know. Look, let's talk about humans for a second. There are so many stories of people who have crossed over, particularly young people, who indicated either in their journals or in conversations they had with somebody or something that they knew that they were going to cross over. So if they know that on some level, then somebody who is in hospice may also be even better in a mental position to realize they're ready to cross over. And somehow that sense is conveyed to Oscar.
Yeah, and it's not only, you know, Oscar, it's many dogs, and a lot of pets seem to sense. Now, it could be, you know, pets, obviously they become so close and attached to their owners that they sense body language and, you know, and inflections and voice and, you know, and that kind of stuff. So, I mean, you always have to keep that in mind. But there are a lot of things. I mean, Rupert Sheldrake did famous studies how dogs knew when their owners were approaching home. And he ruled out the possibilities, you know, that they varied the times and the distances that people would travel. It wasn't a set, people would purposely be sent home at all different hours during the 24-hour period, all different modes of transportation. Sometimes they were walking, sometimes they were in a car, sometimes they were in a train. And consistently it showed that, you know, pets knew, you know, when their owner was about to come home. That's kind of uncanny. So I think that it's the norm. You know, we just kind of take these things for granted. I don't know.
We had a situation like that when I was growing up. We had a big Maine Coon cat in the house, and the cat was not allowed to go into the living room. The cat knew that, and the cat never went into the living room until my mother left the house. And as soon as she would leave the house, the cat would go into the living room. And somehow the cat knew when she was on her way home and would leave the living room. So my mother never caught the cat in the living room. We saw the cat in the living room all the time, but my mother never did.
Well, you know, we've heard about children having abilities and you know, society and parents say, oh, no, you know, that's not what we do and that sort of thing. And they kind of get their abilities trained out of them. And, of course, animals who probably are born with it as well never get it trained out of them. And I mean, there's so many stories of, the dog started barking at the ceiling for some reason. And clearly they're seeing something that we as humans don't.
That's true. And that I think every pet owner can relate to. Sometimes they'll just, either it's a cock of the head and they're just staring at something intently, or they get frenzied. Right. And it could be associated with sometimes people report that it's associated with orbs when they see an orb and the pets, you know, start to go nuts or, you know, apparitions that appear like human apparitions. So I believe that they're sensing things that we don't. You know, we're familiar. We talk about the Rhine Research Lab. So back in the day, Rhine did a telepathic test on a horse called Lady Wonder, she would knock over alphabet blocks that they set out and spelled out words that people were thinking. You know, and they say, I was reading, Ryan was careful to prevent unconscious signals from the horse's owner, such as subtle whip movements, which the skeptics, you know, claim caused the effects, but he ruled that out. So, you know, the horse scored highly in these telepathic tests and similar things that I read about, you know, with birds, too. Didn't you? You always wonder. I always wondered how birds flew in that exact precise formation. You know, is it some sort of a? Do they talk to each other when they're doing it? Is it some sort of radar? Or you know, you ever think about that, Melissa?
I do a lot, Bob, and it's like. Who started it? How do they know which way to turn? I'm also often amazed, but this might be maybe explained as if by an ornithologist, where I often will see a hawk soaring, but then a small bird will be right nearby. Now, that's not quite as remarkable as the bird formations, clearly, but it just, you know, makes me wonder how they're communicating. To know to do that, but also you thinking about pets intuitively sensing when their owners will be home, unless they have sort of an internal clock. Say it's somebody with a set work schedule, and they're just kind of aware, you know, that it's 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock. But I think you know many of us have observed pets. Suddenly going to sit near the door, and we all might think, oh, so-and-so should be home soon. Soon? Like, how does the pet know that? That's pretty uncanny, I think.
Yeah. I read a research study. It wasn't really a study. It was a survey that millions of people are pet owners across the United Kingdom believe that they're living with psychic pets. I mean, I don't remember the exact percentage, but it was close to 50% of all pet owners in the United Kingdom believe that they're living with psychic pets, you know. So it's something that just about the majority of people believe. I read a story.
I am surprised by that, Bob, the 50%. Yeah, I know just because of Facebook, so many of my friends post endless pictures of their pets. So I reached out to some of them as a group, just asking them how they felt about it. And they were both owners of cats and dogs. And one of my friends said that she wasn't remembering any specific incident that she had encountered, but she thinks that it's not so much psychic, but more of a deep connection with the world around them and the ability to interpret things from the energy that they pick up. She said, her interpretation of psychic means it defies natural laws, and she thinks they're more incredibly tuned into nature. So that what we see as psychic is merely their ability to see the things that we can't. Maybe like that sound that the dogs can hear with that dog whistle that the human ear can't detect.
Yeah, we just mentioned the UK. I know a lot of people like to gamble, and there's legal bookmakers there, and I read a story there about a psychic dog, who was able to determine the sex of babies before they were born and predict winners of the World Series and winners of the Kentucky Derby. He correctly chose the winner.
How did it demonstrate this? By writing it with its paw or... pressing a button?
Yeah. I don't know. I would imagine they must have had, the choices set up, and he would hit it with his paw in the test. But they also said that, they asked him when they posed the question to him, like who was going to win. They did it in multiple foreign languages and even in Morse code. And he was still able to, obviously it wasn't the language, it was some sort of a telepathic ability. I was also reading in the 1930s when Hitler was coming into power, there was a dachshund who had a lot to say about his country's leader, none of it positive. And to voice his concerns, he would communicate by barking letters to the alphabet to spill out his messages against the Nazi regime. So there's your answer of how he did it. He would bark out letters. They said 70 researchers tried to debunk his gift in 1 year, and none of them were able to debunk it. So they gave up, and they said, okay, maybe the dog's psychic. You know? But
could that dog also be someone reincarnated who actually knows a lot of stuff?
Yeah, well, you know, that's another question. You know, can animals reincarnate into human form and vice versa? Can humans reincarnate into animals? I mean, that's a question people always ponder. I was reading another story here. The former owner of the cat, Charles Utkins, who inherited the pet from his aunt when she died, he noticed the strange abilities of his new pet. For example, appearing from behind locked doors, you know, at his home. He said the doors to the rooms were closed and the cat, shut away elsewhere, suddenly appeared in the room from behind closed doors, although nobody opened the door to let him in. He states he reads minds, but the worst thing, he inspires thoughts, and these thoughts will be fulfilled, and they are impossible to resist. He made me go shopping and buy what he needed. You know, he says, before I met this cat, I didn't believe in supernatural things, but this creature managed to inspire me to thoughts and shame me to do what I didn't want to do. For example, I don't eat fish at all, and I don't like it, or sausages. He would wake me up at 5 a.m. with a strong desire to eat fish or sausage. So much so that I had to go right out and buy it and give it to the cat. And as soon as the cat started to eat, my hunger disappeared. The animal stared into space, evidently seeing things humans could not. Life was intolerable with the animal and led to strains in his marriage and his wife feeling uneasy around the psychic pet. You know, so there's that. It was kind of disruptive. I was reading this other story here from a clairvoyant in somewhere deep in Russia. She mysteriously heard about this cat that I was just describing, and she came to inspect it. And after a short interview, the woman, who was not named but has been labeled as a witch by the local media, said wasted no time in paying $84,000 for the psychic cat. Mm-hmm. The animal was to be put to work in her seances. She's a clairvoyant and came with her paraphernalia. She closed the cat in the room and then rapidly decided to buy it. I guess she connected instantly with the cat. If she shelled out $84,000 and was convinced that the cat was a psychic, much
how
like
they arrived
like
at $84,000.
Yeah, well, that's you know, that's like a 5 million rubles.
Oh yeah.
So I was talking, you know, a bit about Rupert Sheldrake before, and he did all these extensive studies, and I think that if you read about that literature, it's kind of can't really be disputed about telepathy among dogs and cats. There's also an account that I read about in the New York Times where there was a long journey that was being made by a female tortoiseshell cat named Holly, the pet of Bonnie and Jacob Richter. In November of 2012, the Richters had lost Holly when she unexpectedly escaped from their RV parked at a rally in Daytona Beach, Florida. 2 months later, a cat resembling Holly was found in the backyard of a house located only about a mile from the Richters' home in West Palm Beach, about 200 miles to the south. And then, of course, she had identifying marks, and they identified her that it was indeed her cat, and the cat also had an implanted microchip. So, you know, they call it psi trailing. You know, so that's what we were talking about before. You know, can they actually be following, you know, a trail, or is it ESP? I think that that's ESP. I can't fathom how they can follow a...
I still say they go out of body and they transport themselves.
Yeah, I was just reading, Melissa, to answer your question about, you know, horses again, they would, this other horse that they tested with telepathy, they would set out the same number blocks and letter blocks on a table, and then the horse would nudge each corresponding block with their nose, you know, so I think that, you know, that's how they do it. So I don't know, you know, I wish I had the answer, but I don't see any reason why cats should be any different than dogs or any animals, horses or birds. I think that we all have consciousness, and they are more psychic than we are. And maybe that's how it explains how they flock or how ants build colonies or how, you know, I don't know. A lot of people, you know, Rupert Sheldrake talks about morphic resonance, so that species, there's a common language that gets passed on from generation to generation, and it's information. But, you know, even that is a form of psi, right? I mean...
Does it go from species to species?
No, within its own species.
Within its own species. But then let's talk about, and I know this comes up all the time when there's a tsunami, how the animals don't get caught in the tsunami. Somehow they know way in advance it's coming, and they seek higher ground.
Yeah, and then, you know... I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was going to say that's exactly what one of my friends responded when I inquired about her cats being psychic. Not that she was in a tsunami, but she discussed that very thing, how they sense it and they're able to stay out of harm's way.
Yeah, and I always, you know, I always thought about that, and that somehow I figured that they could sense changes in, you know, wind and or humidity and temperature. You know, that's always a possible explanation how they know it.
Yeah.
You know, but I also, you know, read a story not long ago about a tribe of elephants in Africa, and there was one of those wildlife, you know, what do they call them? The retreats, or wildlife retreat, I guess, where they were
the sanctuaries.
Sanctuary, yeah, and the owner who took care of them for many, many, many years and had a very close relationship with many of the elephants passed away, and they traveled, you know, miles and miles and miles as a herd, you know, to show up, you know, at the guy's funeral, you know, so. How do you explain stuff like that? You know, there's a bond, you know, that is hard to break. Time for another break, I believe, and stay with us. We have a lot more to talk about. We'll be back in a few minutes.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death, and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's CAMLAK.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Hey, Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Rhine Research Center.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love knows no death. A groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the foreverfamilyfoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to the gathering, and we're talking about psychic pets and connected with that, maybe pets in the afterlife. But I was reading we talked a little bit before about people that have apparitions animals, and I have a few accounts here of people who had apparitions of cats. One woman said, I worked unusual hours and took a long nap in the early afternoon. When my cat was alive, she would jump up on the foot of my bed and sleep with me. After she died, she continued to do so. As soon as I settled into bed, I felt a jiggle. Then I'd feel her next to me. It was comforting to know she was still around. The experiences continued on an irregular basis until I changed beds many years later. I guess she didn't like the new bed. Right?
Maybe it was higher up.
Oh, maybe.
Or lower down.
Yeah.
Folks, forgive me. This is the board up. I'm done. You know, we've had a few callers in today to the program, but, you know, when somebody calls me up and we're doing a discussion program and someone says, hey, I'd like a reading.
Oh,
or I'd like a pet reading. I'm like, well, we're having a discussion today. Do you have a question for the guest? Well, I'd like a pet reading. And that's what I've heard a few times. Folks, forgive me. I now understand that there is a pet psychic on. So for those of you that got turned down, cut off at the quick, forgive me.
Okay.
Well, that sounds like a new idea for what mediums and messages. We should bring in a dog to read everybody's dogs.
Yeah, right. And, you know, listen, we know that everybody's people always when we have a physicist on, people call and ask for reading. So,
right.
You know, and so it stands to reason with pets. There's another account here. About 2 years ago, during some alterations, I was moved to another downstairs room in which are some large leather-covered chairs and a settee. I saw what appeared to be a large black cat jump down from the arm of these chairs and rush out of the door several times before I told my 19-year-old daughter, who said that she had seen it too. Several times after that, we both saw it together at the same time. We would compare notes as to the route it had taken, not always from the chairs. Sometimes it came from a corner of the room, scuttled across the hearth, and into the other corner where the door is, just appearing there. We didn't tell anyone. For one reason, we were afraid we should never get any more domestic help if they thought that the house was haunted. However, one day the daily help said to me, "I think I must be going daft. I keep thinking I see your cat jump up and down out of that chair when I come in here." Then later, a new live-in help said, "Have you got two cats? Because I could have sworn one rushed past me in the passage, but when I got to the kitchen, he was lying asleep." And they only have one cat. "I didn't tell her. It's hard enough to get them as it is," she writes. So later that night, I told my husband when he suddenly said, "Oh, that cat? I've often seen a black shadow like that in the conservatory, but I'd never said anything because I wasn't sure of what it was, and you would only be nervous anyways." Mm-hmm. It seems very frightened of people and scuttles off just as cats do when they were startled. That's interesting. Is maybe an apparition of a cat still gets startled by human interaction.
Why not?
Yeah. I like reading that account.
You know, when I was a kid, I really wanted a dog, and my mom didn't want one in the house. And then later, I became allergic, so I never really had a pet. And yet, when I started seeing some mediums and getting readings, invariably, every one of them would say, "Oh, and I've got a dog here." So I'm still yet baffled as to the explanation of that, but it seems fairly consistent in my readings that there's a dog shows up.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we notice a really large percentage. What were you saying, Melissa?
I know my mom, my parents had always had beagles, one at a time, of course. Well, I shouldn't say of course, but they did. Although once there was a mother and daughter that they had at the same time, but when the older dog had died, which was a dog that always slept on their bed, my mom felt quite strongly that she could feel the dog jump up on the bed, circle around a couple of times before it settled down, and yet nothing was there. So I think they do stay with us. I think their loyalty goes across all realms.
Yeah, and there are people that give advice, just as, you know, there are human psychics. I mean, there are, you know, pet psychics who give advice on how to foster telepathic communication, you know, with your pet. I mean, one said that she recounted that one of her cats spoke to her telepathically. And it shocked her, clear as a bell. His words shouted in her head as I carried him up a steep hill was, "Put me down." So, you know, she heard it, you know, in a human voice, just as she was communicating, you know, with somebody else. So out of total shock, she dropped him. And she said, he turned and looked over her shoulder at me with a disgusted look and said, "That was embarrassing." So,
Did you two ever see the episode of I Love Lucy, which, what was that, from the 50s, where they had a medium visiting the room, and they had one of the guests in the circle with them was asking to speak to Tilly, and the medium, which actually was Lucy pretending to be a medium, brought through Tilly, and the sitter was quite surprised at the sound of Tilly's voice because he had never heard his pet speak out loud, and he didn't think the voice would sound quite like that. So even back in the 50s, on television, people were entertaining the idea that they could communicate with their pets in the afterlife. So I think that's probably old, right? Back to the 1800s, even.
Yeah, I mean, like I mentioned at the top, I mean, it goes back to ancient times, you know, where people,
right.
There was one unified language. They didn't differentiate, you know, between human and animal species. People that does communicate with animals, you know, was giving advice on how to foster communication. And she said, you know, just think of your message in your head, keep it simple, relax and say your message to them, you know, inside your head, and you'll know they're listening, because often dogs and cats will often look slightly away and hold very still when they're communicating telepathically with each other. So they said, now your pets may even have a little shock of their own when you start connecting with them telepathically.
Because they don't expect it.
No.
What is that human trying to do with me?
Right. But, you know, it sounds very much like the same advice that you would give to a human person, you know, to try to foster telepathic communication, right? So, you know, think of a message, try to send it, you know. So another example how we're not all that differently.
I can imagine a cat being shocked by all of a sudden the human communicating. They probably thought, gee, I always thought humans were dullards.
It took them long enough to figure it out, right?
Well, you know, of course, that, you know, the ancient, we're talking about ancient times, the Egyptians held the cats in very high regard as far as being valuable to, you know, certainly the pharaohs and that sort of thing.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, so when we as humans, you know, get information or transmit information telepathically, you know, we get all excited about it, you know, like it's a great feat, but just imagine, you know, to an animal who does it all the time, they just live in the now. That's just the way that you communicate, you know, so that they probably are wondering why we don't communicate with them telepathically as much as they communicate with each other.
Yeah, like, why are they always talking to me when they could just send a message?
Right,
yeah.
That's right. Why do we have
exactly. Yeah, these humans, they talk for hours, not one meow in the whole conversation.
Yeah. Oh, I always thought it was interesting the way dogs, you know, I don't think there's any telepathic reason for it, but they, when you're talking to them, they cock their heads like they're really engaged in a conversation.
Because they're trying to, instead of listening to what you're saying, they're trying to receive your message that you're trying to convey.
Oh.
That's why they cock their
heads. Maybe they're saying, just shut up.
Right? And let me receive this.
Let me receive this. That's a good point. We talked about cats and dogs and birds and horses. I don't know whether, you know, the insect community.
Or your iguanas.
Or iguanas. Or as I watch them in the backyard. But I don't know. There are so many things that, just like in human phenomena, that you can attribute to, you know, physical explanations, at least physical in the way that we know it, and pets do have extremely heightened senses. So some of the stuff I think is clearly not of a psi or telepathic nature, but a lot of it is, you know, just like in all the things that we talk about. I mean, we could talk about all these explanations, you know, why the afterlife can't be real and why near-death experiences can't be real and all that stuff, but you can always come up with you know, physical explanations, but they don't hold true, especially when you compare it to the research. So are you going to run out and get a psychic pet now?
Maybe we should open up a psychic pet shop.
That's right.
We know what pet you want here. You don't even walk in the door. We'll hand you the pet.
Wait, Tom, are you allergic to dogs as well?
Not as much as cats. If I'm in the same room as a cat, I'll start sneezing and my eyes puffing up. And I can be in a room with a dog, but if I start petting them, then I'll get allergic. So it's very frustrating.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, I was going to say. Oh, sorry. Yeah. But we, you know, talking about is there. Their life after death, and that's, you know, what the foundation is studying. But I was listening to the radio today, and there was a Dave Davies of the Kinks has a new song asking, is there life after breakfast? We might want to start a little slower and then work our way up.
Well, you like to lunch and dinner.
Yeah.
All right, well, I think that's about time for you to wrap it up.
Yeah, we'd just like to switch our gears just a bit and ask our listeners to join us in our global peace prayer.
And our pets.
And our pets, too. Yes, please, have your pets join along, too. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners and their pets, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind. Now let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this. To love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say...
Our loved ones, both human and animal species, are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.